of that loan owned by the automakers in stock. The banks believe if Chrysler collapses, they may be better suited to recoup losses by selling off portions of the company they hold as collateral. In other words, they're balking at the settlement. They became partners in this. There should be shared sacrifice, and apparently they're balking, and now there's some very angry citizens who, in fact, are putting a boycott on Chase. I think it's well-earned. One other issue, quick. This one, I personally, really bothers me. There was a bill in Congress, the Alan Grayson bill, which would have forced TARP recipients, pretty much the banks, to stop paying retention bonuses as long as they were being supported by taxpayer dollars. Don't you know that there was an effort in Congress to do something about that? There's a Democrat by the name of Bean who had submitted a bill, and it passed. The amendment says as long as banks start paying back their loan money, which they can do with their loan, with the loan money that we gave them, they are no longer subject to the limitations imposed by the Grayson bill. Unfortunately, there were four or five from Pennsylvania Democrats who supported it. Jason Altomare from Western Pennsylvania, Patrick Murphy, Paul Kanjorski, Joe Sestak, and Allison Schwartz. Allison Schwartz, that vote really surprises me. I disagree with it. It's more of the same. Again, some of these people who are going to get bonuses were responsible for putting these organizations in trouble in the first place. I think it's the wrong way to go. It's wrong-headed.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Your call is 1-877-960-0960. What's on your mind? We're right back.
One for all. One for all. It's all for one.
Let's start a union. Call it every human. It's one for all and all for one. Let's live in unison. Call it every citizen. It's one for all and all for one.
Bitter, sly bitter, coming to America. High bitter, foreign bitter, coming over here. Foreign bitter, buying up America. Listen to the gabble of the auction here. Bid 'em up, hit 'em up, set 'em up, get 'em up, buy 'em up, tie 'em up. You can't fail. Bring your money, bring your stash. We need ready cash. Come to the great old American sale. Come from the east, come from the west. Pick out the companies you like best. Closing out all our American stock. Everything going on the auction block.
And welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. 1-877-960-0960 from AmericanEconomicAlert.com. The payoff for Chinese protectionism is the title of the little blurb here. U.S. industrial production from January 08 until January 09, a negative 10.8%. That means it contracted by nearly 11%. The Chinese production had increased nearly 4%. So, you know, you look at the policies that are going on, you look at our trade policies, you look at the fact that the Chinese have protectionist barriers that we keep saying we don't want to have and we don't want to start a tit-for-tat trade war. And I look at the opportunity that I thought Obama had at the G20 summit here recently, and I think this was a missed opportunity, and not that he was going to be able to change the world at this one summit, but also from the AmericanEconomicAlert.com. They write, quote, the 1,900-member U.S. Business and Industry Council on Monday criticized President Obama for wasting an historic opportunity at the G20 summit to promote lasting global economic recovery by pushing to rebalance dangerously lopsided trade and financial flows. Council President Kevin Kearns said that, although Obama's counterparts in the group of 20 world economics and world economies rejected his proposal for massive new stimulus spending, Obama's greater failure was his unwillingness to tackle foreign barriers and other predatory trade practices. These policies, according to Kearns, have led to U.S. overconsumption and overborrowing, fueled unsustainable American trade deficits, strapped the U.S. economy with dangerous levels of debt, and turned the world economy into a house of cards. He continues, quote, none of the president's G20 goals and none of the summit's agreements will restart sufficient U.S. growth or reduce the imbalances ultimately responsible for the gold.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Okay, so I don't sound like Alvin from the Chipmunks anymore. Sorry about that, folks. I guess we had a little frame rate confusion at the top of the program, and, well, you know, had to kick it all around. So if I still sound like Alvin, restart your player. Welcome to Foxed Up, everybody. What is it, the 5th of April over there in the States? Just a little after 9 p.m., and we've finally changed our clocks here. So the show is now on at its winter time in Sydney of 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday. you know, sitting there going, everything's cool, everything's beautiful. Why does John sound weird? Anyway, what a week. We sent a president overseas, and it suddenly looks like 10 years ago the protests are, you know, this issue, that issue, but no united front of, you know, your president's a war criminal. I was laughing, you know. Has Obama, you know, raised the bar back so high already that, you know, he rocks up over there, obviously carrying a head cold, obviously, you know, a bit jet lagged, any human would be, you know, and he's being, you know, kind of like beheaded for being off his game. You know, off his game? Off his game? What? 2 months of not having, you know, the president go out there and stick his foot in his mouth? It, you know, if that's off his game, fine. And, you know, it's slightly surreal, the whole reaction to Michelle Obama, I gotta say. I guess I wasn't expecting it to be quite like that, so kind of, obviously, all the attempts to parallel, you know, Jackie O, blah, 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 blah. How, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, she's just a human being. Even though she's a pretty cool one. I just thought it was a riot, you know. There's shots of, you know, the news leaks out that she's going to be at some school and suddenly there's thousands of people and bloody photographers all lined up. And it's like, wow. Talk about a change. You know, not everything's perfect, but, you know, and, you know, we get the convenient little... I don't know if it's convenient, but I just thought it was funny, you know, Obama steps in and keeps Sarkozy and Donkey Moon from Bloody going at each other, and, you know, pulls his diplomatic tools out, blah, 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 pulls him in the corner. There's so much of the media wanting to write a rock and roll dialogue out of this. And there's enough natural kind of rock and roll nature to what is now the Obamas. I mean, you could see every single one of these leaders is all just like going, yeah, well, we want to be written about nicely in history, I think is what it, that's the impression that I get. They're all just sitting there like, kissing the ass of the focal point of history yet to be written. But, you know, and, you know, it's just been a riot, you know. Just the press just kind of gushing about the two of them. And then there's the whole big kerfuffle about, you know, the touching the queen. And actually, when I saw that, I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I thought the kind of there was a bit of protocol like that. But, you know, I guess that would be with her subjects. But, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. But, geez, how tiny did the queen and Prince Philip look next to those two? You could see, like, President Obama trying to like, scrunch down and seem smaller. Because it's, like, over a foot difference. I know it's a generation difference, and you shrink and you get older, but you don't shrink that much. Getting on to very important business before we get on to more serious business. But anyway, I thought they had a good first trip out, and, you know, it's all very kind of Hollywood and all that, and that's not really their fault. That's, you know, going over there, going to try and take care of some business, and, hey, we're talking to the other side again, you know, so what the hell. Now, where the hell did that go? Okay. We got that bit. Now we just have to get this bit. Just bear with me a second. Oh, where are you? You should be here somewhere. Oh, I hate it when audio files hide on me. Where are you? Oh, there we go. Being that it's Monday over here in Australia, which means that, you know, it's the day after Sunday, which is, you know, like football day. It's your weekly Bunnies report. South Sydney won yesterday. Away in New Zealand. Came from behind. And I tell you what, they keep it up like this, we could have a good season this year. So anyway, here's to South Sydney. Good on you, boys, defeating the Warriors 22-16, showing yourselves to be able to play 80 minutes of football. It's looking good, boys.
When speaking of the champion, one stands above the rest. For his golden record, proud when often put to test. A fine tradition, history that others cannot bet. They wear the red and green.
I failed to mention a very, very important detail. We are now top of the table, number one team in the competition. Hence, why we're playing this.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, let's see, I found it very interesting but not surprising that old Newt Gingrich has been back on the scene lately. And, this guy is, if nothing else, just a political player. I mean, this guy does politics. And he's out there, he's not in any elected office. He's kind of free to be a loose cannon and will, while firing up the red meat, saying, going on the whole socialist, nonsense, all the ists that they accuse Obama of being. And he can also be really deadly honest from time to time about his own party. But the thing to always keep in mind, Newt Gingrich is a guy who's all about power and politics. And he says something here on Fox News Sunday that I find interesting, but there's yet... Might have to do this in chunks, because this is just... I had said, and we've talked, some of us talked about before the election, some of you said, you know, said this talking to Bob, that the GOP could very likely split after the election. And I think that this is a real thing. Now, Newt's coming out here and fanning these flames, and see, he's obviously trying to set himself up as the, you can't obviously even be serious about Palin. Look, come back to the guy who gave you the contract on America, and you know, we'll, I'll save the party. But see, he could be setting himself up too for, you know, possibly leading a third party. He's just so loose with everything here, and loose with the facts for sure. But anyway. I can't even find a reference to there's a third guy on the panel here with Wallace and Gingrich, but I can't find any reference to who the hell it is. I don't think he really speaks.
Let me get to the subject that we actually invited you both here for, and that's to talk about the future of the Republican Party and how you rebrand yourself. Mr. Gingrich, you said the other day that you see the real possibility that some conservatives will split off from the GOP and form a third party by 2012. I know that nobody would ever accuse you of this, but are you just being provocative?
No, I'm trying to say very clearly, particularly to those Republicans who continue to insist, for example, on earmarks, continue to insist that they like big spending, continue to insist that they don't have to pay any attention to the great vast majority of Republicans, that people are not trapped into a system. I think that what Congressman John Boehner and his team with Eric Cantor and others have done is very helpful. I think their effort on the budget with Paul Ryan as lead has been very helpful. I think the Senate amendments offered this week under Mitch McConnell's leadership is very helpful. But Republicans need to understand that there is a country which did not like the big spending of the last administration, didn't like the interventionist policies of the last administration, and the country at large would like to see a genuine alternative to the Obama strategy of basically trying to run the entire economy from the White House and basically trying to increase government, I think, by 36% this year.
Now, how you can equate, you know, they talk about this, you know, expanding the government by 36%, but, you know, we have extraordinary circumstances, especially with the, you know, bullshit amount of money we've been throwing at the banks, you know, and it's all on the books. And, you know, this, it's interesting. They're trying to paint almost, it seems like Gingrich is almost trying to paint Bush and Obama with the same brushstroke.
Which is the largest single increase outside of war in American history.
Are you suggesting that if the Republican Party as it now exists doesn't get that message, that you would be part of a third party? You would...
No. Look, I lived through watching Ross Perot run in 1992 and split the conservative movement in two. The reason we won in 1994 and the reason Mark and others were so successful in that in that Congress was that we managed to offer a contract with America that brought everyone back to the table, and we had the largest one-party increase in American history. If the Republicans decide to be a genuine reform party focused on America, not focused on the Republicans, but focused on America's solutions, we will in fact create a much larger party, probably as early as next year. But we have to be committed to being a genuine reform party, not just the right wing of big government.
Now, nothing would make me happier than a split in the GOP for a whole lot of reasons. It would free up the remaining few probably good people over there to get involved in the debate instead of this, I mean, just this absolute and utter bullshit with the Republicans and their budget with no numbers. And then, you know, on April Fool's Day, they come out with their numbers. And, you know, journalists from all sides are just panning them as an absolute joke. Now, I mean, I'd love to see the Republican Party go under in some ways. In some ways, I don't, you know, but they are absolutely traitor. I mean, Michael Steele's just kind of, every time he opens up his mouth or shows up on TV, which has been a lot less often the last week and week or so, it's just a complete and utter train wreck. I mean, you know, abortion, personal choice, the red meat eaters in the Republican Party would just be going absolutely crazy. And, you know, Boehner and Cantor, I mean, these guys are just, they're a really, really bad joke. You know? And I just, you know, I don't think they're being taken seriously. I don't know, you know. How can you take seriously, you know, first of all, John, that spray tan, whatever it is, man, it just looks really, really bad. And when you come out with an alternative budget, which would, with their own numbers, increase income taxes on the poor and cut them for the richest, 10% of the population yet again, and put a spending freeze for 5 years or whatever. I mean, it's just, I mean, do you not remember anything that we learned from the Great Depression? You know, during the recovery, you know, when it slipped up was when they stopped feeding the machine. And this is one of those times where we got to feed the machine because the fat cats just kind of ran it dry. They kept forgetting to feed it. And just drown themselves in their own whatever. It's just bizarre. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we're going to open up the phones. So if you want to get in on things, it's 304-574-7811. 304-574-7811. And, yeah, you know, I mean, I, you know, a split in the GOP wouldn't bother me none. Wouldn't be a problem. But, you know, what happens then? And how would it split, you know? I mean, would it split down the religious right versus the physical, or, you know? And who would get to keep the name GOP? Or would it end up being too toxic that it ends up just actually vanishing into nowhere? Anyway. You listen to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back after a bit. Ring in 304-574-7811. 304-574-7811. See you on the other side.
Every day is something.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Up on the Hat On Radio Network. That there is Mr. Chad Atkins and Mr. Tommy Emmanuel off of an album that Mr. Robert Lottie picked up this week. One of my favorites. When Finger Pickers took over the world, or the day Finger Pickers took over the world. And Tommy Emmanuel, who plays on this album with old Chet, is just incredible, and he's probably one of the greatest guitar players that, not probably, is one of the greatest guitar players that Australia's ever produced. And he's an incredible player. And just for people who love guitars, like me, and I was just really happy that we were just chatting the other night in the chat room, and Lottie was saying how he was working on a particular set of changes, and I said, soon you can play Windy and Warm. So I sent him a video link of Chet playing it, and then also of Tommy playing it, and going into this crazy live Windy and Warm / classical gas, just piss take of a guitar solo. And immediately Lottie goes and picks it up. And this is just such a brilliant record. Now, I've played stuff off this before. There's really goofy tunes on there. And this is an album by guitarists for guitarists. Or just guitar geeks. And so it's a great little version of Waltzing Matilda in an Aboriginal song that shares the same melody. And so I thought I'd introduce you to Mr. Tommy Emmanuel a little bit. Tommy played in a what would have been Australia's version of Yes, I guess. A band called Dragon. And I worked with a guy who ran a warehouse for a lighting company. And his brother was the drummer in Dragon, and he was once asked, many years after the demise of the band, so what was it like to work with Tommy Emmanuel as a guitar player? And which he then replies, best two damn guitar players I ever worked with. And what makes that joke even better is the fact that when they did replace him in Dragon, they replaced him with two guitar players. I mean, the guy is truly, truly, truly almost what borders on a freak. Now, here, this is the title track off the album. The Day Finger Pickers Took Over the World. And, like I said, this is total guitar geek music, but, I mean, this is just two of the best players probably that have ever walked and just screwing around, having a really good time, and like, let's write really, really silly, stupid stuff. And they did, and it's great fun. So here you go. Two guitar players playing a song about guitar players.
The change was quite subtle and the mood low key. The sky was overcast, you could hardly see. And the creatures all boogied to a different frequency the day the finger pickers took over the world. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened one day, way back in the sticks. He picked up his guitar, but he had no pick. So with just a thumb and two fingers, he made up some licks. And finger pickers took over the world.
So that's how it happened that one cold day.
With just a thumb and two fingers, he started to play.
Without even knowing, he was showing the way.
And finger pickers took over this world. Yes, they did.
Stop and listen, it'll happen, you'll see. You'll want to join in and play finger-pickingly.
People once laughed at this non-conformity, but finger-pickers took over the world. So all the people were finally set free.
They all hung out and interacted fretfully.
And the air began to vibrate with sweet tonality the day finger-pickers took over the world.
Oh, that's how it happened that wonderful day.
With just a thumb and two fingers,
Chet started to play.
Oh, shut up.
Without even knowing, he was showing the way.
And finger pickers took over the world like this. Just a thumb and two fingers, he started to play.
Without even knowing, he was showing the way.
Like this.
Like we have, hold on. Who we got?
This is Sarge.
Hey, Sarge, how you going, man?
Hey, all right, man. When are we on the air yet?
Yes, you are, man. No call screeners here, buddy.
No call screeners. I just wanted to be sure. Yeah, John, I wanted to talk about something. Texas Betsy. She actually led me to an idea on something I wanted to do on my show, and I did it today, and I was just really, really taken by the situation. Now, it's something that Obama is actually one of the supporters of and was instrumental in putting it together. It's called the DREAM Act. Have you ever heard of it?
I saw you mentioning it in the chat room. No, I don't think I am.
Yeah, it's rather interesting, and it's I actually didn't know much about it, and someone had said, well, you need to do a show on the Dream Act. I called Betsy on Messenger, and I knew she knew a lot about it, and I got to chatting with her, and she got my interest, and I talked to some of the local people. But what it does, it actually gives these young people who have been in this country, maybe their parents illegally came into the country undocumented, and they came with them, like the woman that was on my show. She came in at age two, and this is the only place she really knows. And yet she's not a legal citizen, and she spent all this time going through the school systems and living as an American. And every day she faces the possibility of being deported back to the country that she came from at age two. And, of course, there's no, let's see if we can fit you in down there. It's just, hey, we pick you up today. Tomorrow you're going back there. It's really a traumatic situation. And now if she applies for citizenship, there's a really bad problem because she has to go back to the country that she came from, even if she has no connections there whatsoever, and apply for citizenship. But then she's automatically refused for at least 10 years because she was in this country illegally, even though she had no decision made when she came here that she could make herself. Yet because she was here illegally, there's a 10-year penalty there, so she can't apply for citizenship for 10 years. And the DREAM Act gives these people, if they were here before age 16, they can go to college, and they have to jump over a bunch of hurdles, and they have to really demonstrate some very stringent character values and things of this nature. They have to make decent, really good grades and stuff like this. In fact, the girl on my show today, she has the highest grade point average in her school at Arizona State University that has ever been had, and yet tomorrow she could be deported. In fact, I couldn't even give her name and say that she was a undocumented student because, especially here in Maricopa County with this freak Joe Arpaio, they would have raided the studio today and picked her up.
Right. I'm just actually finding some info on it here, and Betsy's sending me a link. So this is Senator Durbin and who else?
I'm actually not sure who all. I know Obama had a hand in it. He was very active in furthering this thing, and it's really a good program. Now, here in Arizona, we had this thing called Prop 300, and what it does, it forces these students to pay in-state tuition, and it's pretty high, and so it makes it harder for them to get into college. And even with the DREAM Act, the Prop 300 would not be overturned. It would still apply state by state. But it's really one of these situations that we're not talking about it, and people are associating it with the immigration issue, and it's hurting the chances of the DREAM Act because people have these preconceived ideas. And what's really bad about it is these students go to school, they learn, like my guest today, actually gets to the point where she's very well qualified. She's making great grades, like I said, the highest GPA in her school at Arizona State that's ever been made. And yet there's no guarantee that she's going to be able to do anything with it. And she's facing the prospect of being deported to a country that really doesn't want her there anyway because she's not one of them. And so it's just a drain on our talent pool as well. So the DREAM Act is really something that I think we need to really spend more time on and talk about it because we're getting rid of a bright, very decent law-abiding, all in the name of, hey, we don't like those illegal immigrants.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before, man. You know, just the term illegal, you know, illegal immigrant. I mean, the term itself isn't really a real word. It doesn't actually exist. And, you know,
exactly.
We look at the whole thing so wrong, you know. In any nation where you have a border, there are going to be people that end up living in your society who aren't documented, you know, or haven't come in through the front door. And so you need to have policies to deal with that. And trying to stop it is not, that policy has proven to be an abject failure instead of managing it. And so when you have calls like this, it's where hard line fundamentalist on the issue of, you know, no illegal immigrants, damn it, they taking jobs. You know, a hardline approach that says, but, you know, these young people have done nothing wrong, and in fact, they've been nothing but an asset.
My guest said this morning, this is the only country, a lot of them, and she was actually speaking for herself, but she said this is the only country that a lot of them ever knew, and this is the only country that they consider themselves part of, and yet they're not, because they can't become citizens. They're not allowed that. And the DREAM Act is something that will start defining our immigration policy as well, because this is going to get a lot of these people taken care of. It's going to give us some of the talent pool that we so desperately need. Well, in an age where we are actually importing doctors and nurses and things like this from other countries like India and wherever. But, you know, we're actually doing that, and they're not being trained in America. These are Americans-trained people, and they have lived in America. They have become part of the American culture. And the DREAM Act really starts defining some of the immigration project. It's a step toward that, at least in my opinion.
Right. Well, Texas Betsy's given a link here, DREAMACT2009.com. And
actually, that's the woman that I had that woman on my show today. She was one of my guests today.
This
very good site.
These are those kind of things where, you know, those of us on that are, I guess, more progressive or just human thinking, you know, you see that this kind of stuff goes on, and, you know, you're going, you know, when does the human cost get, you know, weighed into this, as opposed to just some sort of numbers and letter of the law, you know, my concept of the letter of the law fight, you know what I mean? When it comes down to that, obviously, you know, we're not looking at these things in a case-by-case basis, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's really, you know, after doing this show and after talking to these people, I had the woman that actually does the website that you're talking about was one of my guests. And after talking with these people, Dr. Alan Cameron was also on it, and after talking with these people, it made me realize, you know, here is a program that's being slowed down and maybe even killed because of, well, those are illegals. They shouldn't be here in the first place. Why don't they become citizens? Well, first of all, they can't become citizens. Secondly, why should we get rid of these talented people?
Yeah.
And then we're importing lesser talent, people not even educated in our country, and yet we're willing to throw this talent out the window to where nobody gets to use it.
Well, and
it's just
totally. Yeah, and just, you know, not having the ability to see what an unbelievable waste of energy it is, and you know, to boot people who obviously want to be citizens, you know, it's like because you come from somewhere else, we still suffer this bizarre xenophobia of because you want to come here, there must be something wrong with you.
and you know, John, the thing is that these people have grown up right here. They came in. Like one person said today, well, they chose to come here. Well, okay, my guest today, 2 years old. 2 years old. Like, yeah, at 2 years old, I can make a valid decision on that nature. Of course not. You know, and that's one thing that you're hearing, and I actually heard this today. You're hearing people say, well, they chose to come. It's not like the blacks were when they were brought over. Oh, yes, in fact, it is. It's very much alike.
Are you serious? Are you hearing? You're hearing arguments like that?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I sure did. We are so full of this deal about illegal immigrants, which is a term that I find totally offensive in the first place, because what person is, but then to turn around and use that, like one person said, well, this one person came in, worked for a while, built up $59,000 and took off because they were starting to be forced to pay taxes on it. So they took off and went back. So, you know, the Green Act would just be encouraging more of this. Which is totally bonkers, because with the Dream Act, they have to graduate. If they don't, they could actually be deported.
You know, and when I hear tales like that said about any group of people, and it's always an immigration issue, you know, and just what you said there, you know, and once they start out to paying taxes, they go and split off back home, and it's like, I'm sorry, I hear stories like that, and first of all, I doubt that even occurred, and if it did, it would be such a small amount of people doing that, because people just try to get out of paying taxes all over the world. I mean, it's a problem. And, you know, to suddenly, you know, just paint that, you know, they're all going to do this because they're all criminals.
Well, you know, I just wanted to bring this thing to you and let you talk about it a little bit because, honestly, thanks to Texas Betsy, Dennis Gilman out here in Phoenix and some of the people that I have talked with this past week, I have become very adamant about this issue, and I think it's something that, we need to get out to people. We really need the Stream Act, and I hope that, I've at least open the door, and I want to thank Texas Betsy for enlightening me where she did this past week, and I just think it's something we really need to support.
Right on. No, it sounds good. We need a more humane, you know, immigration policy and a more humane way in which we look at dealing and what we perceive as threats as opposed to things that just need to be managed. You know, and I think that might be, you know, just like with the financial stuff and all that, getting back into the idea of regulating. You know, it's that, you know, there are things that need to be managed. And this is one of them.
Yeah.
People moving across borders is something that needs management, not always enforcement.
It's also a step in getting our immigration policy better defined, too, because this is a group of people that we really need to work on. We really need to get them and utilize their talents. It's just such a waste. And plus, we're educating them in our schools already.
Look, we've already invested so much money in these kids. Why are you throwing out something that you have spent so much money on? I mean, let's look at it completely a dollars and cents thing. You morons.
And like my guest this morning, she's not only getting an education, she's excelling in it. She's setting records that Arizona State School, that school has not seen. And yet we want to throw that away. Talk about your best and your brightest. Come on, you know. And I just, you know, I'm really adamant about it today and actually listening to her. And it also, people like Joe Arpaio, the sheriff out here, who is being investigated by John Conyers' office, thank God, they add to this thing. And, by the way, anybody listening, call John Conyers and thank him for support, for doing these hearings on Joe Arpaio. I called him last week, and they are getting a lot from the right wing because they're trying to say it's a political ploy when actually it is a legitimate thing. So if people would call and thank Conyers for doing this, it would help them a lot. They very, very much appreciate the support.
Right on, right on. Well, you know, Conyers is one of the definitely one of the good guys.
Yes, he is. I had a good conversation with him last week, and believe me, when someone calls and tells them thank you for the Joe Arpaio thing, it gives them courage. because, frankly, the right wing is organized and trying to use Joe Arpaio as something to say, oh, it's just a witch hunt. And if you see the look on the people's faces, like the young lady that I had on today, you see the look in their face when you say Arpaio, and it makes you feel like, uh-oh, is this how the Jews felt during the Nazi regime?
Well, do you just see contempt?
The same fear.
Is it just utter contempt?
Yeah. It's really, you know, when you look at it and you see the look on the face like I did this morning, it really strikes home to you. We have got to quit playing politics and letting these freaks like Joe Arpaio run rampant and destroy lives, because remember, there's a lot of children getting hurt by his stupidity. And he's not getting rid of the troublemakers. He's getting rid of the talented ones. He's getting rid of the law-abiding citizens, you know. And these are the ones that we need to find ways to work with them and do something with them instead of playing all these stupid political games like Joe Arpaio's playing. So, you know, bravo John Conyers for opening up Arpaio, exposing him. We really need that. See, they've gerrymandered the districts out here so bad that we can't get rid of Arpaio. We almost did, but we couldn't. And it's going to take someone like John Conyers to bring this man down. So anybody that's listening, please call John Conyers, thank him, and encourage him to continue, because there's a lot of people that's being hurt. There's actually been people die because of this man that didn't need to die. And so we really need to support.
Right on.
And I'm going to leave it with that, John.
All right, bro.
Much.
You have a good night, man. Good to talk to you. And those,
bye-bye.
All right, man. And that's our good mate, Sarge. And you can catch his radio show, Coffee with Sarge. And it's coffeewithsarge.com. And we're going to head out and take a little bit of a break and come back and do some other stuff. Get on the horn. 304-574-7811. 304-574-7811. Yeah, we'll do stuff. Anyway, also off of the day Finger Pickers took over the world, Ode to Mel Bay, all these licks taken straight out of the level one book of each instrument from Mr. Mel Bay. It's just great. Tommy Emmanuel, Chet Atkins. We'll see you on the other side. And I guess we owe it all to you. Thanks a lot, Mel Bay. Mel Bay, Mel Bay. We just want to say we wouldn't know what we're doing if you had shown way. Mel Bay, Mel Bay, every time we play, we always think of you, and I hope you'll have a nice day. Take it! Mel Bay. On page 21, you showed us how to play G. On page 22, you taught us how to play a D. But lordy, oh lordy, we never learned to play an E. If someone in the outhouse stole page 23. I'm going down the grid and buying a ukulele. I want to learn to play fairy shells and a ukulele, lady. I just bought your book, Mel Bay, on how to play the fiddle. I can play on that high string and those two in the middle. Another book, and we'll play how they.
now, babe. We just want to say we wouldn't know what we're doing if you hadn't shown the way. Now, babe, now, babe. Every time we play, we always think of you. And I hope you'll have a nice day. Have a good one, Mel.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head-On Radio Network. The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
It's hour two, getting all foxed up. And now, back to John on the Head-On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head-On Radio Network. It's hour two. coming up on 4.5 minutes after 10 p.m. in the United States. It's just 10 past noon here on Monday, and the beautiful central coast of New South Wales, no longer in the smog and fog of Sydney. Thank goodness. Get that whole thing off there, John. And, you know, it's all good. A mate of ours came up over the weekend. And he just said, both of you just look a whole hell of a lot happier. I'm getting, just each day more and more just confirms how unhealthy Sydney is as a place to live, especially in areas like we lived. But, a place that almost became a really unhealthy place to live. Laredo, Texas. Check this, you know. You see Agent Orange in a headline somewhere, and you're expecting to read something, you know, aftermath-ish kind of thing from Vietnam or something. But no. I mean, we still play with this crap. And it's just not that we think about playing with this crap, but what we were doing it for. Via the raw story, Texans delay Agent Orange spraying on the border, and that's just for now. Who the hell wrote this anyway? Is this John? Let's see. It does not say. Anyway, they write, did you know that American authorities want to spray a toxic herbicide over 1.1 million acres of land on the U.S.-Mexico border? Leave it to some pissed-off Texans to throw a cog in that machine. This from the latest edition of Texas' most muckraking weekly, the Lone Star Iconoclast. The residents here dodged a bullet when the U.S. Border Patrol delayed the spraying of a toxic herbicide along the Rio Grande. The herbicide, the U.S. agency said, is meant to eradicate a wild plant that supposedly protects illegal entities from detection on the riverbanks. A wild plant, huh? However, U.S. citizens living near the 1.1... Mile Spray area took a legal stand to halt the $2.1 million pilot program before it began last week because they haven't been adjudicated on the result on the effects of the poison. They said when our government comes and says it's safe, we'll have to think back to the many times they said something was safe and it to turn out not to be safe, said the citizens' petition obtained by Pro 8 News. Why do I, you know, okay. I understand wanting to kill things on the Mexican border, but why do I have problem believing that it's like, oh, we want to kill plants that are giving them cover? Now again, didn't we learn a lesson about this in Vietnam? I know it's a totally different place, but, you know, you kill off all of, you know, and then the grow back, you know. But, I mean, Agent Orange? Really? It's, again, one of those moments where you just kind of, like, time warp and go, wait a minute, when did I go back to 1975? But here at Raw Story goes on to say the justification for the plan was given to CNN in late March. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said it wanted to eradicate the invasive carrizo cane infesting many portions of the Rio Grande's banks between Texas and Mexico. The lanky cane provides cover for immigrants crossing the border illegally and poses a danger to Border Patrol agents trying to stop them, said Chuck Pritchard. Someone can be in the cane and be 3 feet away from them and you cannot see them, Pritchard said during a Wednesday phone interview. A Border Patrol agent could literally be surrounded and have no idea.
Ooh.
Yep. We got a call coming in. Who we got?
Hey, John, it's Gene. How are you?
Hey, Gene, our news producer, Gene. What can we do for you today, sir?
Well, I'll tell you. Oops, darn it. Just got the phone. Great. Between John, or between Sarge and that story you're reading with the Agent Orange.
Yeah.
It's not going back to Vietnam. Somebody's read, A Handmaid's Tale. And between the, I'm serious. It's like they're trying to turn the Southwest into the colonies. I laugh, but it's like, God, this is eerie.
Well, you know, I mean, they're spending millions of dollars near where Gail and I used to live to clean up and reclaim the soil from when we produced this crap 30, 40 years ago. When did that stuff become cool to use? And, you know, what have we done that made it cool to use? Or, you know.
Well, it's not cool to use.
I know.
The reason that it's that same thing with This Joe Arpaio in Arizona. I mean, thank God they were able to delay it. I think it's horrible. I mean, the other thing I wanted to comment on the Dream Act. I mean, I hate this idea because pretty soon, let's say they go ahead and they manage to get rid of the illegals, the next people up will be people that they just undesirables, and it's like there isn't that much difference.
Well,
and it's like,
you know, I was talking to Sarge, though, this just the idea of sending someone back to a country that they never lived in or have no recollection of because their parents, you know, I mean, this is just I'm sorry, it's being cold and shitty. You have to take pleasure in putting other people through extreme pain. That had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and it's like the GOP is. I say the GOP. I mean it's. Well, heck, it's Arizona. It's the GOP.
This is a bit of an American problem, though, man. You know, I hear from really, really, you know, I think fairly moderate and what I think are, you know, basically intelligent people say that, you know, but yeah, all them damn illegal immigrants taking our jobs. And I just sit there and go, you're so full of shit. You're so full of shit.
This is what you get for not investing in Mexico and letting them pass that NAFTA garbage. I mean,
well, you know, I gotta say that I am hopeful about the situation with Mexico just because of the huge full court press that went down there. You know, Clinton went down there and actually talked like a grown up that said, you know, we hold a lot of responsibility in this because, one, we have the market for the drugs, and two, we supply the weapons. And, mm-hmm. and you know, that's really grown up. That's really adult saying, you know.
But if you look at, like, the, there's a couple of gun sites. I'm on a website that's one of the options, and I'll flip in there from time to time, and they're screaming at me, it's not our guns, it's somebody else's, blah, blah, blah.
And they're translating this into some sort of gun control hoopla when there is none. In fact, you know, Holders said, you know, now is not the time to try and, you know, get the assault weapons ban reinstated, even though they'd like to. There's just too much on the table right now. They don't want to wake up the NRA. It's just like, let them just sleep and dogs lie. But yet they're trying to find some way to create a fear out of absolutely nothing, you know. Yeah, he might want to do that, but he's not going there. We're not having that discussion right now.
Yeah, but you're right. They are really pushing that idea. It's, oh, you don't want to take a gun. They don't. I get so sick of people's paranoia. Ever since it's funny. Bush, 8 years ago, we had all kinds of things going on, and I just saw the thing with the, I'm not a 9/11 conspiracy person, but I just saw that thing on Thermite. They thought in the tower. We had that, and you guys didn't do boo, and now we get one black president, and you just absolutely go nuts. God, thanks. Thanks, guys. It's like, oh, man.
Well,
I'm a Canadian. I got the Celsius stuff down. It's 23. It was 23 degrees here today.
Well, that's what I was saying kind of before is, you know, the guy's been in 2 months, and we've already raised the bar that high again. You know, the way that they talk about this guy in certain circles, you know, you just sit there and think, you know, what freaking planet are you on? Don't you remember where we were just 6 months ago? You know?
Well, apparently. Yes, they're on opposite worlds. We really are on two different planets. I mean, gosh, I just got something today, you know, with like an update on the other thing that's big in wing world, wingnut world, and I've heard it starting to spill over. This sovereignty movement that's going on. I mean, some of the states are, you know, reasserting their 10th Amendment right, which I suppose that's great, but I mean, that's good, but I mean, it's like, fine, but let's not start seceding. I'm sorry. I mean, things are getting so weird here. Anyway, I'll let you go. So.
All right, man, we got another call coming in. So okay. Thanks, Gene. We'll talk to you very, very soon, man. Thanks very much.
See ya. Bye-bye.
All right, and who we got? Hello? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, we lost him. Bummer. Whoever that was. I was trying to swap lines. Ring back. Sorry about that, Gene. But, you know, it's like the screaming meme minority is getting smaller and louder. On so many levels, you know, we have the Pope actually saying that condoms make the AIDS problem worse. You have a Republican Party in the United States that just seems completely rudderless, and there's a few guys running around the deck. You're on Foxed Up. Who we got? Hello? We not hear you. Ah. Huh. I'm going to restart my phone. Just in case it would doubt. Which you can do. It's the fun of radio on the razor's edge. of technology. Try that again, whoever that was. And we'll see if we can make it work this time. Anyway, where the hell was I? but, you know, going back to what Gene's talking about, you know, you got these, you know, minority people. All right. Fourth time's a charm. Fourth time's a charm. You're on Foxed Up. Who we got? Hello? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? I do not foresee any sound from you. Sorry. Maybe it is on your end there. I don't see anything coming from your end. I have no idea if you can hear me or not. How bizarre. All right, let's see if John can find his track a fourth time. But, I don't know about the sheriff and whatnot that they're all referring to, but it sounds like we've got a bit of someone overstepping their bounds physically with people and maybe being a bit of a renegade sheriff or some crap. I don't know the story there, but this idea okay, Susan trying to ring. Okay. Rebooting phone and we'll try again. He's might not be my soft phone. But you know, I'm just sitting there thinking of, you know, some affluent right winger hires someone as their gardener who's what he would call an illegal immigrant. That guy turns that meager below standard wage and supports his family on it, and his kids grow up in the United States. They live as American kids because they are American kids. Oh, I see a number now. Yeah, on Fox F, who we got? Still nothing coming. That's really a bummer. Huh. Let me see if I ring back. Hold on. Oh, we'll just bear with me a moment. Let's see. Huh. Oh, the fun. Do-do-do, yeah, I'm being boring, sorry. I'm going to try this one more time. Do we have anyone?
Bingo.
Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Finally.
Like on how many? Right. Oh well, this better be good.
Well, I wanted to expand on something that Gene was saying about how the NRA is, you know, saying they're going to take our guns. Guess what? They're already doing it.
Oh, I know. I've been seeing it, and it just and I just sit there and go, but there's nothing, and you know, the Holder even said publicly that one of the fights that they would like to have, but they're just not game to have it right now, is the assault weapons ban.
Oh, it's even worse. There's an AP article out that man that killed the three Pittsburgh cops, he said, quote, he was doing it because of the Obama gun ban on the way. That's why
right.
He didn't like our rights being infringed upon. Now, where have you heard the Obama gun ban mentioned?
Has Rush been on about one of them?
Rush, Hannity, Beck, the whole right-wing echo chamber.
I mean,
where
really...
are they getting it?
Yeah, that's the good. That's the good question. Where are they getting it?
What I want, I have a question for everybody. When are these people who give these wackos the impetus for this? When are they going to be charged as accessories?
You know, I mean, this is the thing that just, you know, makes it all seem so unbelievably surreal, is that we are at a moment where we've got some serious problems and some serious things that need to be actively dealt with, kind of all on top of one another. And these people will go and actually create something out of nothing to fill time to just to derail the process and kill it. You know, this is so politics and what party ahead of the nation to the point that it's kind of sick.
Yeah, but the thing that gets me is it's gone past the politics. Now they're getting the guns and using them. Why aren't these people being charged as at the very least with second-degree murder?
The more Beck goes on, the more he just looks like a cartoon.
Uh-huh. But the thing is, if you or I got hold of someone who wasn't quite all there mentally,
right,
and told him every day that he needed to get a gun, he needed to, there was fear this, you told him that every
yeah.
day, hour after hour, and he went out and killed somebody, you would have the police on your doorstep with a pair of handcuffs.
Yeah.
And they would haul your little butt down to the station, and you would be perp walked in there, and they would haul you in, lock you up, and charge you with either an accessory before the fact or with second-degree murder. It's called depraved indifference.
It's an interesting situation there because, you know, the free speech argument would immediately come up, and in very many ways, rightfully so. But are we, you know, is this a situation where, you know, when you even portray yourself as being newsy, you have a certain level of, you know, you have to be factual or clearly satirical.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, and I go, God, if we actually try to regulate something like that, the Daily Show would be screwed. But when you are portraying yourself as an actual educated commentary source, when you say things that you know are
borderline lunatic asylum crap. And you don't think for a second that you have an influence out there, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be on as many stations as you are. Then, you know, it's an how do you prosecute it? How do you prosecute it without killing free speech?
Well, I think you would prosecute it under the same premise as yelling fire in a crowded theater. You have a right to free speech right up until the time somebody dies because of it.
Right. Yeah. You know,
and that's when the law steps in.
And these I mean, Beck is just, I'm sorry, he's the man of the moment. Because I think, you know, his ratings have gone through the roof. And, you know, obviously there are people watching him. I think that there are a lot of people watching him for the comedy. I do think that there's, you know, I think his numbers are inflated because he's so outrageous, right? It's just like Howard Stern had, you know, always reckoned 50% of his listeners were people that hated him but wanted to listen to him so that they could hear all the shit that they wanted to bitch about how much they hated him over, you know? And so they had to be on, they had to be on him like hawks. So, you know, there's going to be a bit of that, but I mean, what Stephen Colbert has done to him, you know, I loved his whole, you know, ripping the crap out of him for grandstanding on 9/11. I thought that was just a thing of beauty, you know.
I just loved it.
and this is the same guy. This is the same guy that did that whole thing. You know, it only took me about a year to learn to hate the 9/11 victims.
Right. The difference between Beck and his ilk and Colbert, to my knowledge, somebody who has watched Colbert or Stewart or whoever has not gone out, picked up a gun, and killed a bunch of people. There's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. There is.
You know, they're busily saying, damn you! But that's just, you know. I don't really think that constitutes picking up a gun. And I have yet to see anybody who was interested in picking one up. But these people like Hannity and Beck and Limbaugh.
Well, Hannity.
This is the first time that.
Hannity's just completely full of shit. Any footage of him that I see, it's just, you sit there and go, no. Say something that's actually accurate. No!
Just once, I would like to, I know it's not possible, but every time I see Hannity, or Beck, or Limbaugh, or for that matter, the Duke, I have this picture of this dump truck unloading a whole load of caca right on top of their head. That's the only way I can tolerate them, because I picture them in this nice, steaming pile up.
Well, I mean, you know, they really are unbelievably just lost and scrambling at the moment, the GOP. Well, you know, I've been just watching all they're doing at the moment is flailing, and this is like how we end up with this crazy, you know, the Obama gun bill debate when there is not even an Obama gun bill anywhere, you know. And these guys, you know, like Hannity, I'm sorry, if I were unfortunate enough to have to work on his soundstage, you know, I'd throttle him after I heard him say, you know, the greatest country God ever gave man fucking line. You know, after about five times, I'll just, like, you know, like, into the desk, say, like, you know, stop sucking up and try and actually be a man. Because, I mean, it's just really woeful. Just him and Beck go for that, you know, we try and make the emotional, you know, gut connection nonsense with the knuckle draggers, and then just shovel a bunch of shit for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. There. Before I go, there is one thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Apparently, NBC thinks it's going to be liberal by putting Ed Schultz on television.
Anyway. No. I have a thought on that, actually.
Well, I have a request of everybody. When he was on Hardball last Friday, they were talking about the Employee Free Choice Act.
Yeah.
And Tweety Bird came up with the standard line about the secret ballot. Now, if Schultz had bothered to read the stupid bill, all two pages of it, he would have seen that there is a secret ballot in there. He didn't. So I would suggest that everybody go to BigEddieRadio.com, and there's a space there where you can type in a little message to Big Eddie and say, "You twit, you blew it."
Well, that's really disappointing, because here's what I reckoned, because I, you know, there was all this talk about them trying to fill 10 p.m. after Maddow. And, you know, there's, and the Young Turks went on their big press, and, you know, I'm sorry, I know a lot of people dig what they do, and I actually think, sometimes it's not too bad, but in general, they don't do it for me. I think that there's other people that deserve the next leg up on the left, but that aside.
A lot of people wanted Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, you know, you could see that, and so, okay. MSNBC says, okay, right now we don't have what looks like a dead-on winner like Rachel was. We can be patient.
Yeah.
Countdown's still performing. So, but, unfortunately, this what you just told me about him getting that part of the bill wrong is unfortunate, because I wondered, you know, we always make out that, you know, Fox is an operative news network for, you know, the right-wing Republicans, right? Well, it is, you know, in a clandestine business formation standard, and Murdoch being who Murdoch is, and Roger Ailes being who Ross. In certain ways, MSNBC has to look at themselves as the same thing for the other side, because they've obviously just gone, there is a market out there, so we're going to cater to it.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Sure.
And they're doing well with it. And, you know, they're happily going along, going, it doesn't cost as much, and it's working. So, they're building on that thing. So my thought was, because I was like, on Ed Schultz, fuck off, you're kidding. And then I thought about it. Okay, you know, I had to think of it like a, you know, if I were on the production, you know, research team that was looking into who, how much, and, you know, how it would work out production wise, you know, I can see him going, okay, you know, this Ed Schultz guy could be good, because he is pro union. I know that much about him. He is a pro union guy. Not that I listen to him on a regular basis, so I don't know how he falls on particular things, but my thought was, okay, MSNBC is gearing up. Probably the next big debate that we're gonna have is gonna be the Employee Free Choice Act. And so, Ed Schultz would cater to, whether we might like it or not, this kind of union, middle-class worker guy, or, you know, or worker guy kind of, you know, demographic, and going, okay, that's going to be the next big fight that's probably going to come down the line. Let's punt this thing at 6 o'clock, which is always a loser anyway. If it just grabs on at all, then maybe we think about moving it to 10 o'clock. But, you know, trying to go for that, actually looking at the next demographic that's going to be looking for a place to see something on the debate that's not the Fox News version. But I feel, I hope he gets straightened up and that he gets on air and says, I was wrong when asked about this, and here you go, stick that black dog up you, to quote a friend.
Yeah, well, I don't even care if he apologizes or not, just as long as from now on, he gets it straight. And it's because it's two pages. Read the stupid bill.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Oh, that's just flat stupid. Even I could, you know, don't get me started. I'll start swearing.
But, you know, I look at this, the fact we are going to start seeing the debate over the Employee Free Choice Act come soon, and I think we're going to have that before we have the healthcare debate. When, in my mind, we should actually be having both debates at the same time, and showing how, if we, you know, make healthcare more affordable and accessible to everyone, we can remove some of the problem that you have with the unions and their current contracts, because those costs will come down immediately, you know?
Yeah, and that will be a great benefit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just hoping that in the process of settling Chrysler and GM, they don't proceed to drag Ford down with them. Because Ford's actually got a chance.
Yeah.
Provided it doesn't drag down with the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
It's gonna be very, very interesting, because, you know, the perceived interests are already ready to have that fight. But I got someone else on another line, Susan. It's really great to talk to you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And you're on Foxed Up. Who we got?
Good evening, John. It's Luke.
Hey, Luke. How are you, man?
Well, I tell you what, I was listening to you a minute ago, and, yeah, it just struck me, y'all sitting there talking about the second Rights Amendment. Well, this is just the second. This is just the next chapter. Remember now, for the month before that, it was the Fairness Doctrine. People were out there pushing it.
Yeah, that was another one of these mythical fights that wasn't actually going on.
That was just like I say, just another smokescreen, just churning up the water, trying to keep people busy.
I mean, is this what happens when you actually are completely out of power, and really the only thing that you can do is just play obstructionist monkey wrench thrower?
That's it. Well, I mean, look at it right now. I mean, that's why the pig man right now is seen as sort of the leader of the party, is because there's no one out there with any ideas except for Newt. And I'm sitting there going, have you all, you know, you're sitting there going, did you all, you know, go to the mind wipe place and have your memories turned off? You know, it's like, don't we remember this is the man from the contract on America?
Yeah.
The guy who had 10 ideas and couldn't hardly get two of them passed, even with the Republican Congress.
And you know, the thing is that he's a very, very sly operative, you know, and it's like he's been off the radar for a while, and he just pops up once in a while.
But the thing is, you have to remember, though, why Newt is off the radar now. You know, it's amazing enough how when people talk about Newt, they don't bother mentioning, you know, when they talk about Clinton, you know, it doesn't take them 10 seconds every time, and they'll bring up Monica. But you know what's amazing enough? No one talks about Newt and his intern problem. Or as we call her, the now Mrs. Gingrich.
Right, that's right.
You know, so most people forget the second Mrs. Gingrich was a total trophy wife who was only there just to look good.
And you know, I'm sorry, the multi layers of hypocrisy in the fact that he condemned, you know, Obama's speech at whichever of the Catholic unis. And how he's converting to Catholicism, and the guy's been divorced, like, you know, how many times? And this makes sense how?
Well, and remember, he was the one that was out, even while, and the thing of it was that most people also forget is, this was kind of an open secret that most every news person in Washington admitted they knew that Newt was having the affair with the intern, but didn't want to mention it, because they were afraid of getting access cut off.
That is a really interesting problem. That's a problem that Australian politicians and Australian news media suffer really badly, because of where Canberra is. They kind of are like this symbiotic, you know, two beasts.
Out of mind.
Yeah. And you know, so they eat together and they party together and they, you know, do everything together. Because they all live there, and yeah, and you end up with all that. You know, you don't get hard questions asked because you're afraid you're going to lose access. It's all about access and not actually getting at any truths.
Well, now, like I say, now I sent you and I sent Bob the things, but like I say, the Colbert thing was really good on Glenn Beck. And the Jon Stewart thing the other night on Rush was hilarious.
That whole bit, you know, when he's just like, about fucking time.
We've
tried everything.
We've been working on this for years.
And hey, man, as I grew up in Jersey, I feel like a New Yorker. And it's, you know, there's probably a lot of truth in that.
You know, the one that most people miss because it wasn't mentioned a whole lot, but if you ever want a really fun one is go, I guess, over to HBO or YouTube or wherever you want to find it. And a couple of weeks ago on Real Time, at the end of the show, he had Keith Olbermann on.
Oh, that was fantastic.
And when Keith got talking about the thing where, you know, he knew some of them, and he wouldn't mention them by name, but he said he knew a couple of them, and it was total stick. They didn't believe anything they were saying. I mean, it was like, you know, the guy selling the ShamWow or selling the Genzu knives. It was just a sales pitch. You know, because he was talking about somebody that come out there and was talking to him in the green room, and he was essentially saying, you know, that was a good performance. And Keith was kind of looking at him like, no. Said, you got to believe some of it, or why are you doing it?
Yeah, and you know, he's referencing the guy that wrote that biography of Murdoch. And, you know, that guy makes the claim that
if Murdoch could make more money being a liberal, Murdoch would be a liberal.
Right. And I'm not sure whether I totally agree with that or not, because I think he is naturally more a conservative business guy.
True. But you mean, that's one thing that most people don't talk about is, I mean, when you go back, you were talking about a minute ago, though, with Howard Stern. I mean, if you go back 10 years before that, and remember Robert Downey Sr.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who would do that? Who would just get on there and just do the quasi-Howard Beale thing, just rail against anything he could think of just to see who he could piss off, you know? And he was the rabble-rouser. He was just 10 years too early. If it had been 10 years later, he'd have made millions. But you know what I mean? He was the one who used to do that before them. And you know, and it's just amazing, you know, listen to some of these people sometime, and it's like, you know, you're just sitting there going, you know, I keep telling people, I'm an agnostic, and I kept telling them why I'm an agnostic sometime, and I said, because I've heard some of these people, and I ain't seen the lightning bolt catch them yet. And I swear, some of these people, you know, there'd be a whole lot of fried going on around this country. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, that's my fruit.
If there yeah, if there was a God, I would have seen a lot more, you know, lightning fried, you know, lying sack of shit more often in my lifetime.
But this way, one night Fox would really get a good rating. Because, boy, there'd be some really good stuff showing on there every one time.
Well, and you know, I'm also really amazed at, you know, When it was the Bushes, and you had, you know, a much larger, you know, Bush conspiracy theory, blah, 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 kind of network going on. But one thing with, like, a lot of that, it actually was coming out of some sort of search for some sort of truth. And
this stuff is... We blend back in the, what was it, the FEMA things, where he essentially said, I don't have any proof, I'm just making this up as I go.
Yeah, we don't know that these things actually exist, but I'm going to tell you about them anyway.
Yeah.
But
at least have to show a picture every once in a while.
Well, and you know, it's another one of those things where, you know, life continues to look more and more like Idiocracy when you look in certain corners of you know, the American demographic.
I know. We try not to look too closely because it really starts to worry you. Oh, God. there's just sometimes it's just so outrageous. You're just sitting there going, you know, isn't anybody noticing? I mean, you know, it's sort of like, what was the old thing in MASH, the time where he stripped down naked and walked all across the camp and no one noticed? You know, It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, these people are saying absolutely stupid, silly things, and you all are just sitting there blinking. It's like, are you all that hypnotized?
Well, yeah. Did you catch that conservative kid that rang into Bob before we had to ask him to chill out?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
I've been
out the last couple of nights. Had to stay late at work.
A couple weeks ago, you got a kid.
Oh, okay.
You got a call from a kid.
Okay. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot about that one.
And he talked about.
And Bob was trying to talk to him.
Yeah, and he talked about like the Obama tax increase, and just like, what are you talking about? And you know, he just say these things, and it's just completely out of his ass. Actually, out of his father's ass. I think he was being, you know, prompted.
Coach.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of, you know, we do know some things that happen with the chat room that not everybody can see. And, you know, it all seemed to be coming from the same place. And, you know, and he was a minor and it was a problem. And out of protection for everybody, we asked him to cease and desist. And we banned him out of the room because we felt that that an adult was putting a child up to this, and that's not right. I don't care what ideology it is. It's just that kind of activity is just bloody stupid. But in there, it was a very telling couple of conversations. You know, he popped into the chat room one day and said, how many of you grow your vegetables off of government water? And you read a question like that in a chat room, and you're sitting there going, and this applies to what, where? And, you know, and so a bunch of, you know, responses came through saying, you know, all water is subsidized in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, are you talking through a privatized supplier? Are you talking about from city aquifers, blah, blah, blah? So, you know, that was just too much specificity. There was no response on that issue. And, you know, like, I kind of forgot what this was like a bit, to be actually in power and have these guys just lobbing this crap, you know, and it's just kind of like, you know, sitting there with the rocket launcher of just shit and just kind of firing it out. I was sitting on, you know, Obama's a socialist. No, that one didn't hit anything, you know, and it's just kind of like just shooting in the wind, hoping that something sticks.
It's just throwing up 20 things. If one hits, well, fine, we'll go with that.
You know, and run with that for a couple of days and hope that, you know, our RNC chair doesn't end up, you know, having another train wreck while we're at it. You know, and I'm sorry, there was one long April Fool's joke, that bloody Republican budget thing.
Forgot. One story I sent, and I had not seen it, I think I sent it to you too, was the Chris Christopherson story.
I saw the email. I didn't actually get to that one.
It was a thing. It was something with Ethan Hawke doing a Rolling Stone story. And he was talking about something that happened like in 2004. And as he said, Chris Christopherson was going on stage, and some fellow whose name resembled Moby Teeth said, don't want any of that leftist stuff. And apparently Christopherson turned around to him and said, how long do you wear the uniform? He said, huh? And how long were you wearing the uniform? Because Christopherson was in the Army.
Yeah.
And apparently he essentially told, shorthand, essentially just told Keith to shut his face and sit down on stage.
Nice. Sit down, Keith. You bother me.
And essentially I told him, I said, well, for the rest of the day I'm getting out my Highwayman album and play it. Thank you.
Very nice.
Well, that story, I just said, that's good.
Toby Keith, he's just so lightweight.
Well, you know, it's just I got thinking about it because I was sitting here just a second ago flipping through channels, and one of the things they're having on tonight is the Country Music Academy. The Academy of Country Music is having their awards tonight.
All right.
And I was just sitting there going, you know, and I don't think they'll ever forget, you know, ever allow the Dixie Chicks back on.
did they play up on that, or are they just too lefty and too alt to be considered country anymore?
Well, they're country. It's just they just essentially, I guess, just kind of put the asterisk by their name. You know, they're there, but they don't count.
I think they're gonna be better off in the long term with the way that they're going
well,
now.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's one of those things where, you know, it's like, say, what they said was not all that bad. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, gee, some people said the same thing about Clinton, and I'm sitting there going, well, I don't remember anybody banning them. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just amazing sometimes to watch and listen to some of the stuff that goes on. You're just kind of like, hey.
And what people will get worked up about and what they won't get worked up about. That's what freaks me out.
Oh, well, you were talking a minute ago about Agent Orange. Now, when I first started where I work, and I've been working there 29 years now almost, when I first came to work there was a guy there who had been in Vietnam, and he was still suffering from the effects of it. And every once in a while, he just had to take a day off because he could not work. And it's one of those things that once it affects you, it's, I guess, in a way, I don't want to put it, it's not the same, but I mean, it's sort of like malaria in a way is it'll pop up when you don't do anything. It'll just all of a sudden, it just kicks in.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're talking about using it around a river basin.
And for what? To stop a few illegal so-called immigrants? What, are you kidding me? I mean,
they're going, guys, y'all have got infrared detectors and everything else, and now you have to spray defoliants? God.
And I mean, you know, what's going to happen if you spray that and kill all that? You throw the balance out. We know what happened in Vietnam. The undergrowth just got that much thicker, and it ended up making everything worse.
Well, like I said, you're shooting it around the Rio Grande, which is a water source. So it's not only going to affect there, it's going to affect places for 500 miles downstream.
And, you know, that is some shit that you don't, that you don't get rid of. I mean, that is something that stays in your system, and it'll multiple levels.
It starts affecting you, it'll affect you at levels for years and years.
Oh, and it's multi-generational, too, you know, depending on the effects. Not just, you know, a couple generations down the line, you can still, you know, be affected by exposure. You know, it also gets passed through bloody DNA.
Genetically, at that point, yeah.
And, you know, the birth defects, you know, are just, you know, horrendous. And, I mean, you know, just in Sydney Harbor, the dioxin levels are anywhere from 10 to 100 times the World Health Organization's, you know, maximum safe levels, you know, all through the year from stuff that was processed and dumped decades ago. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
It is still sitting there, just kind of won't ever go away, per se.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're actually on a certain section of it now. They're actually, you know, got a huge reclamation project going, which I know is not going to be perfect, and I could find things to bitch about. But they are reclaiming it as opposed to paving over it, which is what they did for where we held the Olympics in 2000. It's part of the same land. And, you know, there we just paved over it. Here they're actually processing the soil and separating and, you know, I know something's going to leach out, but it's got to be better than all that crap just sitting there and leaching into the water.
Cover it up and cook it.
Yeah. And that's basically what they do. And there's two different cooking processes, and they said that the one that they were running was running brilliantly. There was no need to set up the other one, but then we noticed they set up the other one, and so, you know, will they be saying that it's A-B testing because they've got so much to process, or, you know, is there some justification there when the other one was supposed to be brilliant. So, you know, but, you know, that is just nasty shit. That is just nasty stuff that we shouldn't even be talking about playing with.
Well, and I'm going to leave you now, but I'm going to leave you with one thought I gave to Bob a couple of weeks ago. I said, the only reason I could figure that Fox hired Glenn Beck was because they wanted somebody who made, when they hired him and let him on for a few weeks, actually make O'Reilly almost seem like a sane person.
Well, I reckon that's right, mate. I reckon that's partially right. And also, they are looking at what demographic can we hook into. And the really, really loose cannons need someone to talk at them.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Like you say, part of it, big chunk of it, though, like I say, is the train wreck people. They're just, it's the people, you know, that just sitting there just watching to enjoy the, like I say, watching him. See how wide he can open his mouth and shove his foot down his throat. You know. You you know, it's like I say, it's the NASCAR group that, you know, sits and watches for the wrecks. I mean, it's just people to see how stupid, what stupid thing he can say next.
Well, he looks more and more like a clown as time goes on. That's the one thing that makes me have some hope, is that he's, like, the joke's going to be up at some point soon.
Well, I say, all I got to say is let's just keep on watching Stewart and Colbert, because like I say, it's a shameful thing. They're becoming our best newsmen in the country. I think they both should win Peabody's this year.
Yeah.
Probably Emmys.
Well, Colbert has been on fire, and John, the whole CNBC.
Oh, the other time we had the gas mask and the shotgun.
Oh, that was just a thing. That was just a thing of beauty. And Colbert with the CNBC thing, which Kramer was just such a sucker to actually fall into the firing line on that.
Well, but the thing of that was, you know, most people forget. I mean, they showed it once or twice. Just remember, this is the same John Stewart who essentially took care, who ended Crossfire on CNN when he essentially went on there and told him, "Quit, you're all embarrassing news people."
Yeah. Oh, I've watched that video many times. But hey, man, I'm gonna head out. We're at the top of the hour, and good to hear from you, man.
Well, I'm glad. Never know when you're on half the time.
It's been the same thing every week for the last few, and this is gonna be it from here on out. So, not moving around anymore. It only shifts around here because I gotta adjust to the clock difference to there, which is really confusing now. But good to talk to you, man.
What time is it right now down there?
We're just coming up on 1:00 PM.
All right, it's 11:00 PM here, so you have a good afternoon.
Sir. All right, Ben, you take care. You have a great night. Take care, Luke.
Bye
bye. Our good mate Luke there, and we're going to take a break here, and you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll come back, and we'll do some more Chet Atkins and show you some Tommy Emmanuel, and we'll do some other music, and if you got something to get off your shoulders or, you know, be in your bonnet, as Bob would say, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network.
America's liberal voice.
We'll be back.
Listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
While many state workers are sacrificing pay raises and submitting to wage freezes, or worse, being forced to take unpaid furloughs, federal workers may be about to get a 2.9% bump in their wages. The new budget being considered by Congress seeks the raise, which is 0.9% higher than the one proposed by President Barack Obama. The congressional proposal would make the non-military federal workers' raise equal to that of the one likely to be received by military personnel. According to the Office of Management and Budget Estimates, the increase would cost the government $1.3 billion. The 2.9% raise is already a cut for federal workers, who saw a raise of 3.9% this year. The last two pay raises, approved by the administration of George W. Bush, sought pay raise parity between military and non-military federal workers. 2 million workers have lost their jobs this year alone. Doug Cunningham files this report.
In March, another 663,000 people lost their jobs in America. The accelerating job losses pushed the official national unemployment rate to 8.5%, with no relief in sight. This is the highest unemployment U.S. workers have experienced since 1983. Since this recession started, 5.1 million jobs have been lost. The policy research says we'll be really lucky if we stop losing jobs by the end of this year. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says this dire employment emergency calls for broad-based reforms to build sustained economic growth, and a second economic stimulus may well be needed. More than 3.2 million workers have been unemployed for 6 months or longer. More than 30 million Americans are on food stamps, according to the Food Research and Action Center. Despite a few mild signs of improvement in the economy, workers continue to be devastated by this recession.
We know that unemployment rates are on the rise, but who is being hit the hardest? According to the most recent report from the Economic Policy Institute, the jobless rate for African Americans is the highest at 13.1%. That's followed by Hispanics at 11.4%. As for specific industries, construction workers are the most likely to be jobless, with 21.1% of those workers unemployed. Teenagers are the most likely to be unemployed age group at 21.7%. On Friday, FedEx announced it would be cutting 1,000 jobs worldwide. The announcement comes 4 months after the company cut pay to salaried workers by 5%. 500 of the job cuts will come from the company's headquarters, and workers will be given first notice if positions reopen. The company additionally plans to cut hours and put in place a temporary hiring freeze.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit .net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
But outside of Washington, some strong Republican voices have said the stimulus package is needed now. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Governor Charlie Crist of Florida, he supports the package.
This program will help us with education, with health care, Medicaid specifically, infrastructure. These are the kinds of things that produce jobs. It could mean $13 billion to the Sunshine State. It comes at a time when we need it. People need jobs. It's about jobs, jobs, jobs.
He suggests that you and Republican Party leaders here in Washington are on the wrong side of the biggest issue, jobs.
Well, no, you know, with all due respect to the governor, I understand where he's coming from. Having been a state official, I know what it means to get those dollars when you're in tight times. But you've got to look at the entire package. You've got to look at what's going to create sustainable jobs. What this administration is talking about is making work. It is creating
that's
work.
That's a job.
No, it's not a job. A job is something that a business owner creates. It's going to be long term. What he's creating
so a job
is
doesn't a, count if it's a government
no,
job.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network as we get into what is primarily usually a lot of music. We'll get to some of that in a second. You know, Luke bringing up before, talking about just kind of how these guys just spew off just shit and how many of them are actually just, you know, just ringleaders in the circus. You know, Bill O'Reilly, does he really believe the crap that he spews? You know,
we got phones.
You're on Foxed Up. Who we got?
Hello? Uh-oh. Let's see. Hello? Who we got?
Hello?
Hey, sorry, David. There we go.
Oh, that's okay, man. I was just saying I had to call.
Oh, all good, all good. What's going on?
I'm just listening to you talk about various deceivers in the world of media.
they're looking like clowns to me. Why am I feeling more like pity and laughter than I am fear?
Well, I think since you are considered, would you consider yourself an expat by now? Not yet.
Well, I mean, I am. I don't, by the definition, I don't live there anymore, but however, I am still a citizen of the United States, you know, depending on
how
you want to split hairs.
I guess looking from inside, I would say, people are more scared of the fact that, it's going to escalate to not just guns to Timothy McVeigh levels.
Well, that's that to me is the worry. I mean, if we've ever, you know, if history says anything, it is those gun clenching, you know, I have my own local militia guys that go and do really, really horrible crap, you know.
Turner Diary Book Club members.
Well, I mean, you know, this guy that one shoot up, you know, it was in reaction to, you know, the Obama gun bill. And it's like, what bill? I mean, really, you know, you can actually get people to do some pretty horrific things over nothing.
I think one of the things that's really bizarre is the fact that people are saying they're going to take our guns away, they're going to take our guns away. Well, they took your guns away during Katrina, and that was during the Bush administration, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you have a point here when it comes to that, and, I mean, my whole thing is really what people should really be more concerned about than taking your guns away are the private military issues in the U.S. I brought this up before on Bob's program, and the Obama administration gave $70 million to Blackwater. That has to sting any way you cut it.
Now, you know, this whole private military thing, and like an especially on U.S. soil thing, gets all around posse comitatus kind of stuff, you know, plays games with those lines. And, you know, I that crap has got to end. Now, is what you're talking about with the Obama administration giving to them stuff that was appropriated before, or have we signed new deals?
To just, you know, kind of like a, since we're giving everybody money, we might as well give some to the Blackwater, which is kind of ridiculous and on the front. But here's the thing that I think people need to understand, is that we have so many war hawks in the Obama administration. You have to expect that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You don't have to accept it, but you got to expect it, if you know what I'm saying, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know yet, but it is kind of disturbing of the fact that Obama, when you watch that town conference in France, when he was continued talking about the war on terror, it just gives you flashbacks of that war on drugs scenario. And it's like, where are you going with this, Mr. President? Where are you going with this? Because I'm not on board with it. I don't think most of the people in the world are on board with it, especially people in the United States who are hurting. I think we should take that money and invest it elsewhere into something more productive.
Well, yeah, I got to say, I'm really not happy about this doubling down thing in Afghanistan. You know?
Well, that's going to be a nightmare in itself. And then this leaves the question. This automatically makes Obama unconstitutional, doesn't it? So why does he continue to, I don't know, to say he's going to follow the Constitution? There is no point to doubling down in Afghanistan from what I can see. If we're going to be truthful about it, I think we know the reason why they're doing it.
Well, I mean, they still play a huge role in oil exports, for one.
Let's be honest, though. The death and destruction business, that's the only manufacturing that's great in the U.S.
That ain't the truth.
I know. I mean, and I understand why people are so hesitant to turn off the defense company machine to at least shift it down, but you got to. Because a lot of people are pissed off in this world.
Well, I mean, now see, why I was asking, you know, the money that went to Blackwater. You know, if that was some sort of continuum kind of thing, because they are talking about how, you know, in the first couple of years of the budget, that military spending and the whole appropriation system is to be, you know, basically kind of thrown out and cleaned up.
Have you ever seen Shadow Company?
I don't think so.
I would recommend watching that. I'm going to have to send a link for you to watch that. That's about it's a more in-depth look into the private militaries than there was the Robert Greenwald, which was more of just like a mainstream type on the private military. But this one is a little bit more in depth and goes into why we trust these people to begin with, the ties that bind with them, and the tunnel vision that currently goes on. Nobody really wants to look directly in the eyes of serial killers. If you think about it, that's kind of what, I mean, private military, they can keep talking over and over and over and keep saying, well, yes, it is for security, it is for security, it is for security. But mostly, you just have to take the word security out and put, it is for death, it is for death, it is for death.
Oh, yeah, and you know, it's also a way around the law, a way around the law. You know, I mean, just Blackwater, you know, you say cuts bad in a multitude of ways. I mean, we're finding out now that, you know, what were, you know, supposedly seven, you know, bloody bad electrical showers ended up being like 7,000. 7,000 showers shocking our troops when building those showers used to be the job of the military itself.
Well, then you have to look at the reasoning behind with a lot of these D.C.ers. These people, Democrats included, they hate the military. They like what it provides in terms of a theater, but they don't like what it provides in terms of not being able to be. They want more money out of it, and they want to broker more deals. And to be able to do that, you have to lift the regulations regarding killing swatches of people. In other words, to make collateral damage anymore, but for the security of for the liberty of people, it's no longer we're sorry we did that. And if you do it with a private military, I mean, let's go back to what the Joint Special of Command is, what Seymour Hersh was talking about, assassination squad. You know, the next step for the military or the private military industry is to be as strong and powerful as the U.S. Army, but to not be able to tell anyone.
Right. Absolutely.
And then that goes into, and see, John, that goes into what these wing nuts should be concerned about, which is these people coming onto our sovereign soil. That's who we should be worried about.
Yeah.
Not the Mexicans. The people on steroids. The soldiers on steroids who are with Blackwater, with Canopy. You know, that's the other thing. That's the other thing, John, that really we really need to focus. It's not just Blackwater. It's like tons of private military sects across the world.
Yeah.
And we keep focusing on Blackwater, but we really need to focus on private militaries. We shouldn't even call them private militaries anymore. We should just call them flat-out armored mercenaries.
Yeah, because that's what they are. They are soldiers
right.
for hire. So they are mercenaries. I mean, we did go through a period during the beginning of the Iraq War where, they would be referred to as, you know, both, kind of depending on which media you looked at, and that seems to have gotten to be too difficult to maintain.
You know, the situation is what and to look at from inside the lair of these private militaries. Here's another thing to look at, is the fact that these soldiers being there, once they look at it as a perception thing, and they see it and they see it from afar, and it's great advertising. Some of these private militaries are some of the greatest advertisers in the world. If only they would switch sides and work for the liberal and progressive cause.
Yeah.
I mean, my God. But you know, here's the thing to consider. When you get in the military, John, and you are in this private military, which I guess we could look at it as kind of like the Foreign Legion, if you want to really look at it in that way. There are no rules once you get in there. It's just everyone gets a paycheck and
you do your job. You know,
yeah, you do your job. And also, you know, the thing with these soldiers getting bigger and bigger. I mean, you're competing with people who are bigger and more muscular than you. So that's obviously going to encourage more steroid use. It's going to encourage drug use. It's going to encourage a lot of other factors. And when you really look at it, it's destructive for every single person joining up with these forces now. It's not productive. It's destructive. It destroys their families. But you get a bigger paycheck. I mean, at the end of it, that's pretty much all you get. You're isolated from the rest of the world. You're not even enjoying the place where you are.
Well,
you're in this heavy Ninja Turtle gear. and when you ask when you ask specifics, you know, who are we protecting or who are we? They'll give you the runaround, and then you find out the people you are protecting aren't so much the good guys.
Well, and you know what's interesting too is, you know, outfits like Blackwater and whatnot, you know, they end up being hired to provide security for foreign dignitaries and whatnot, say in Iraq, you know, so like, you know, when engineering firms from Australia go over there to go help with, you know, telecommunications or something, it's private security that's keeping them safe, you know, in the green zone. You know, and what's funny is that those paid professionals still end up using the Australian SAS to clear shit for them first. When it gets, you know, when it, if it gets, ah, that's a little too hairy for my job description. We still got to go back to the guys that did this job, you know, that always did this job. And it's, and I, you know, the thing that, that just frustrates me about the, you know, the idea of all these, you know, military contractors in general and private armies is all these jobs used to be done by the military themselves. So we've ended up paying some company obviously more than we used to pay the soldier that did the job as part of his duty. And there's the profit motive, the higher price, all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, it is, you know, all to prop up a market that couldn't survive on its own unless the U.S. government just kept feeding it shitloads of money.
You know how you can tell this is so corrupt? When a company changes its name and still is operating.
Yeah. Z,
yes, Z. Or the company formerly known as Blackwater. The artist formerly known as Blackwater.
It turns surreal really quickly.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention was on the positive side of the news, because I know you want to get to some music in a minute, was the fact that there was a co-sponsor of a bill of Ron Paul and Barney Frank of legalizing hemp, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, and I heard you on Bob's show the other day talking about the online town hall that Obama did, where he was kind of blew off the whole pot tax question.
Yeah.
And the way that question, because he actually recited the whole question when before he, and I didn't like the kind of out of hand way that he put it out there, is the question was worded in, wouldn't legalizing hemp and taxing it solve all the financial problems and be the way out? Now, that is a very, very, you know, full-on extreme view on the issue. Now, there's been some really good work how it could do exactly that in a state like California. But I don't think that that's the way that we open up the legalization argument. What I do see that's been good is just, you know, like what you're talking about, states like New York who have completely repealed all of their, you know, heavy persecution, you know, drug laws, which were some of the toughest in the state, and just saying, look, you know, marijuana possession, it's just on our radar, and it's now going to be like a finable offense. And we're seeing moves where, again, like signs of the adults starting to have the conversation and telling the screaming memes to just shut the hell up and sit down. The adults are going to talk about this subject now.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's really what the, you know, it is one of those subjects that you try and go and have a real debate about it, and you end up with the screaming memes, you know, standing up there going, oh, I will end up with an entire society full of potheads. It's like going, it's already out there. You're creating an unnecessary black market in crime because you're making it illegal instead of regulating it, making some money off of tax income off of it, and then treating problems that do happen, that are happening anyway, as a health problem instead of a law enforcement problem. And we could change a lot of things for the better.
Well, you know, one of the things we should have said regarding the marijuana issue is we should really start using the word hemp more, because every time we bring up marijuana, it cues the words of that 19th 50s Reefer Madness documentary and all of that crap.
Yeah, and I mean, marijuana was the term used by the DEA and by Hearst and his minions to demonize the plant, which is hemp. And, you know, within a certain part of the society, the word doesn't have any demonizing, connotations to it, because that's just the word. But yeah, for a second you use the M word, it all becomes about drugged out hippies and not about, cancer treatment patients. And I'm sorry, I do want to have the debate about the fact that this plant that does, in its unregulated situation that it's in now, does no harm to society aside from those harms that we create by making it illegal. Compared to alcohol, per se. I mean, the cost on American society of alcohol, road accidents, violence, all that. Bill Maher is still one of my favorite things. He had this opening monologue years ago where he said, you can open up any paper in any city in the United States and pull out the police blotter and you'll read about some guy who went out and got drunk, came home and beat his wife. You never hear about the guy that went out and got really high and went home and beat his wife. Maybe forgot to beat his wife, and that joke always seemed to sum up the entire argument to me.
Yeah. One other thing is that if people keep wondering why this keeps happening, you got to think of hemp and marijuana as like a Swiss Army knife. It has so many, you got the magnifying glass, you got the toothpicks, you got the corkscrew, it has so many uses. That obviously, just looking at it and saying, wow, it can do all that, so what about all these other industries?
Just the industrialized hemp, I mean, this, we've been up and down this, in our own echo chamber, a million times, you can recite it off, all the advantages of hemp paper over pulp paper, hemp fabric. I mean, my favorite longest lasting shirts that I've ever owned have always been hemp shirts. That you can just beat the crap out of, and they come back every time. I'm wearing one that's probably close to a decade old, and it's fine. It's not threadbare. It looks fine. It's totally intact. I couldn't possibly have a cotton shirt that would ever do that.
One last thing regarding the hemp issue is the fact that hemp is. So resilient and so many different uses I think that right there alone is almost in a way it's too use when it's too useful it's like wow couldn't it be a little bit
well less and you know than Monsanto's got to really not like it because it doesn't require pesticides mm-hmm. and there's a reason why they called it weed because it grows like one.
and one last thing before I go, I think you'll like this, is we have a new land speed world record for wind-powered vehicles.
Oh, right.
Going at 125 miles per hour.
A wind-powered vehicle?
Yeah, hitting at 125 miles per hour.
Wow.
So that's quite a stretch from what it was every year we're increasing that. I know how you feel about wind power, and I know how everyone. That's the other thing I wanted to ask you about the issue with Did you hear, wasn't Feinstein? There was an issue in Arizona.
About how it's going to be too much of an ecological impact on certain areas of the desert. Now,
of the turtles, Mojave turtles.
Yeah, when I read the article, it sounded like where she was talking about were a couple of really small specific areas, and that there's plenty of other space. It seemed like it was searching for a headline a bit, but anything that comes out of Feinstein always worries me, because I don't think that where she's bitching about is actually really any of the areas that they're seriously talking about developing. There is a thing where we're hitting a point where we're going to have some calculated damage if we're actually going to get some baseload stuff going on a large scale. And we're going to have to try and deal with that as best we can. But the perceived improvements, you know, by deploying those kind of technologies over not deploying them, I think would have to show some weight, you know, in favor of doing it. I don't know. If that ended up holding up major projects, I'd be really, really upset. And boy, it would give right wingers some unfortunate, you know, ammunition. If
I'm concerned about green energy, and I wonder if you are the same as well. Green energy and alternative energy just being for the upper class, rather than for the poor.
Well, I think that's why we need to have national initiatives when it comes to, you know, the way grids are assembled needs to be changed. It needs to be more flexible. A lot of people have already done the work. What would make more locally generated power easily tapped into the system, best for distribution, all that kind of thing. But it takes it is going to take a bit of an organized effort. So I think the dynamic has to change. And the only way that it's actually going to get out is it can be subsidized by the really wealthy who can afford to throw down for it. But at the same time, the public needs to, through its own coffers and private industry from the generators, have to cough up big time. They're investing in the future of their business. And so they need
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I just want to, before I leave, I just want to give a quick plug. I'm running the Twitter for the prosecution of George W. Bush. I talked to Bob Alexander about it.
Right on.
So, anyways, if you guys want to see something humorous, I'm actually hitting up a lot of the senators and the congresspeople, and I'm talking back to them. I was like, wow, you just went on a plane, and you're really concerned about this country, and you're eating your dinner, but yet you don't want to prosecute war criminals. I see something wrong with that picture, and then I'll just leave that. I leave that kind of Twitter messages. And the fact is that I'm building up my following and followers list right now. I have a lot of you'll be interested to hear about the first person that I responded to in the media was ABC Brisbane, and they actually responded back to me. Everyone else in the media did it. And I just want, so just in case people don't know what I'm talking about, Bob Alexander is the guy who sent out the prosecution for trial of George Bush for murder books by Vincent Bugliosi.
Yep.
And he sent out over 2,200 copies to every single DA in the country.
Saying, if you have balls to take this case on, here's how you'd do it.
Right. So here's a little bit of news in that, because I know it's been silent for a little bit.
Yeah.
The first few months, Bob was saying how it was just taking a little time for people to pick up the book and actually read it. And I guess he got word that we might hear a response sometime in May, so look out for that.
Right.
And, but like I said, if you guys want to follow me on, Twitter for the prosecution, it's a prosecute GW Bush. So it's twitter.com prosecute GW Bush, and you'll see me hit up all the Congress and the news people, and you can laugh along at some of these people, because some of these people, they just leave their they have it on their sidekicks, and they'll see these messages even though they might not respond back to it. My whole strategy is to shame and scare these people by building up my followers. So if I have, like, you know, 10,000 or 12,000 followers, that's when people are going to go step back and go, whoa, I mean, this is really a serious issue still. And it is a little bit of a struggle because of, with the economy and the fact that he's a former president, so I'm not really sure how to make that more of an interest for the people on Twitter and for the world, for that matter, because of the fact that so many people still don't get the connection that just because he's a former president doesn't mean you just let some, you just let the whole administration just slide away. You have to make a stand somewhere, even if you don't convict it and make someone guilty. The whole point, like what Bob was talking about, was get an indictment. That's all.
Yeah.
An indictment. So we have that marker for history.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the goal.
Hey, man, before you go, on the show blog, there's a link to an article on Medium blog. And I think this is something you should read. It's an interesting take because we've been having a discussion in an email list that I'm on of digital laborers. It's it's a thing set up by the Australian government here, and
right.
you've probably seen stories about the nanny filter thing that they're going to try and do at the ISP level here in Australia,
yeah.
And how that's kind of a mess. Well, all these different kind of like censorship, blah, blah, blah kind of things have been rolling around there. And someone posted up this article, and it's called Better Than Free. And it opens up and talks about how the Internet is just one big, huge succession of copying machines. And where and how the fact that there are a million, you know, anytime you send anything from anywhere, just due to how it works, it makes copies of those things along the line. And because of the way that it works, there is a fingerprint and a breadcrumb trail of everything that it went through. So where privacy and the fact that copy control are completely gone,
mm-hmm.
and the future of that and governments and censorship, it's really, really amazing. I've only gotten about a third of the way through it, but I think I'd really be curious to have you give a read of it and see what you think. It's a really well-written piece.
I'll tell you what, we'll leave that for a segue for next week. I'll read it, and I'll give you my thoughts on what I thought of it, and that's how we'll open up the discussion for next week.
No worries,
Stay
man.
Stay tuned, people.
Good to talk to you, David.
All right, later.
All right, man, take care. And that was, of course, a good friend, David from Maine. And let's see, we are gonna play some music here because I want to. And Tommy Emmanuel. I'm not going to be able to get into much of the stuff, but you can look him up. TommyEmmanuel.com and .com.au, I believe. And you can check out some stuff. And if you actually search a song called Windy and Warm on your Google, and you'll find a video clip of Chet Atkins doing it, and you'll find a video clip of Tommy Emmanuel doing a live version in 2006. Someone's like, you know, bar shot video. It is well worth watching because it's rare to see someone attack a guitar with such ferocity. It's amazing. But to give you an idea of what he gets up to is something like this. Here's his take on one of his solo albums in the 90s. Of the Beatles' Lady Madonna.
Thank you.
That's just amazing. Yeah, as Bob says, Chet's heir to the throne. Most definitely true. We'll just go to something else. We did that one. Also off of Finger Pickers Take Over the World, To Be or Not to Be. Brilliant stuff, and Cobbs just happened to read my mind. Mr. Chet Atkins does a lot of that playing with other guitar players, because, well, other guitar players just want to play with him. So did an album with Mark Knopfler. He's done a few albums with him, and here's one that I believe even did do something on radio outside of the guitar-loving world. Poor Boy Blues. Mark Knopfler and Chet Atkins.
So I'm sitting on my
Chet and Martin Offler, pretty outstanding. And let's see, how much time we got left? And because I said until the world changes severely, this song will be played once every show. I know it's a crap segue, but I don't have enough time to think of a better one. Michael Ferrante, Stay Human, It's That Moment.
Is a creation of the devil, the rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow, bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle, to be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert, dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd, scratch my itch like a needle on the record, full of life like a man gone to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring, I speak low but I'm like a lion roaring, baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bop. Can I hear it once again? Boom bop. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Be resistant the negativity, to keep it at a distance. Call for backup and I'll give you some assistance, like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion, rockin' woo upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and your underwater breathing, to be rhyming without a real reason is to claim it, not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception, beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system to legalize you or give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive
with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. The beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Aha. Well, you saw the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why? It's a moment in time we find that we can open up a heart that's locked or been broken by the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns or still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by Bang and Testarossa. We need to heed the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas. Steam your body in a stereo sauna, sauna, sauna. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. I tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. I tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. I tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. I tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human.
All right, and with that, we got to wrap things up. Thanks for playing along, everybody. It's been Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network for another Sunday night, Monday afternoon, all depending on where you are on this beautiful blue marble, such that it is. Thanks to Gene for being the news ninja, and thanks to him for posting today. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives and the new server. It's so nice. And as you say, be good, be green. We'll see you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I stuck my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat and said, imagine that. Cut me. Around the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay.